Hey, Brother Dennis, I need you and Brother Leonard and Brother Harry to come up here and help me for a second, if you would. If you could, just move all Bob's equipment and the stands into that first row of the choir, and then I need you to take two chairs over here and put them over there at that end of the platform, and then the two chairs over here and put them at that end of the platform. And then, Brother Leonard, you and Harry, I need you to sit down in one of the ends, and then Dennis, I need you to stand right behind me, okay? All right. In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, a lawyer asked Jesus a question. And it was not a sincere question. It was a question to sort of trap Jesus. And the Bible says he stood up and tempted him. And he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, that's a question every single person should want to get the answer to. Eternal life talks about existence in heaven. You're going to live eternally somewhere, either in heaven or hell. Eternal death is that eternity in hell. Eternal life is that eternity in heaven. And so every single person wants to get the answer to the question, how do I get eternal life? Okay. Oh, yeah, stay right there. All right. So what Jesus said, he said, what's written in the law? What does the Bible say? And that lawyer answered him, it gave him the right answer. He said, well, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and might. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said, that's right. Now go and do it. Now you can sort of read between the lines as to what Jesus was saying to that lawyer. You know what to do. Why aren't you doing it? Just go ahead and do it. And the Bible says the lawyer willing to justify himself. And by the way, that's what most of us want to do. We want to justify ourselves. We want to make ourselves as if we've never sinned. And here's what we say. Hey, I'm a pretty good guy. I compare myself to other people. I can find a whole lot of people that's doing worser or badder or more evil things than I'm doing. And so compared to them, I'm not bad. And that's sort of what we do to justify ourselves. We find somebody that's worse than we are, and we sort of say to God, well, look at him. Like that publican that was in the Bible. Jesus talked about him in the temple, a poor man and a publican. And the publican, you know, stood proudly and says, well, I pray every day and I fast and I give and I come to the tabernacle. And the poor man, the beggar, was over in the corner, didn't lift up his head. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, that's what this lawyer wanted to do, like the publican. He wanted to justify himself. And he said, I can find somebody that's a worse sinner than I am. That's not the question. The question is not how you compare yourself to somebody else. The question is, how do you compare yourself to Jesus? He is the standard. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The glory of God is Jesus Christ. And when you compare yourself to him, you realize that you fall far short. And so the lawyer, willing to justify himself, asked Jesus another question. He says, who is my neighbor? You say, love my neighbor as myself. Well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus said, okay, I'll give you the answer to that question. To do that, I'm going to tell you a story. He said, a certain man. So this is a certain man right here, Dennis. He's going to be our certain man this morning. The Bible says he started over here in Jerusalem. I need you two guys to move right over there in the middle and stand right in the middle. So here's this certain man. And by the way, we don't know who he was. The Bible doesn't give us his name, doesn't tell us anything about him. And I think the Bible does that because the Bible wants us to be able to identify with that certain man. That certain man could be anyone here this morning. That certain man could be any friend that you have. That certain man could be any member of your family. That certain man could be any neighbor that you have. That certain man could be anybody that works beside you in your office or on the line or wherever you work. That certain man could be your barber or be your friend, neighbor. You just name it. That certain man could be anybody in your life. And Jesus said, let me tell you a story about a certain man. The Bible says that he went down from Jerusalem, that's what we're going to let these two chairs represent, Jerusalem to Jericho. And by the way, geographically, of course the Bible is always right, But geographically, when you go from Jerusalem to Jericho, you go down. It's about a 21-mile journey geographically between those two cities. But it also speaks to the spiritual journey that most people are on. You see, the city of Jerusalem was known as the city of peace. We read about it in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, when it talks about Melchizedek being the first king of Jerusalem, the city of peace. We read about Jerusalem in the book of Joshua, chapter 10, verse 1, where Joshua captured the city. In 2 Samuel chapter 5 and 6, David made the city of Jerusalem his capital. In 1 Kings chapter 5, Solomon built the temple there. In 2 Kings chapter 25, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it. In Nehemiah, we read about the walls of Jerusalem being rebuilt. And of course, you cannot study the story of Jesus without knowing that a lot of things he did took place in the city of Jerusalem. He was dedicated there. He cleansed the temple there. He spoke to Nicodemus there. He healed a lame man there. He forgave an adulterous woman there. He told the story of the Good Shepherd there. He made his triumphal entry on that little donkey in the story of Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem. He condemned the Pharisees. It was the city he wept over. A garden just outside the gate was where he prayed the night before he was crucified. In the city of Jerusalem, he was condemned. Outside the gate, he was crucified. Outside the gate, he was buried in a garden tomb. He rose from the dead outside the city of Jerusalem. And from that hillside outside the city of Jerusalem, he ascended back to the Father and went back to heaven. And someday, when he comes back, he's going to come back to the city of Jerusalem and set up his 1,000-year reign in that city. I think you can see from all those things that Jerusalem was the city of God, a city that God will use, has used, and will use in the future. And anytime you leave a place like Jerusalem and go down, not just geographically, but spiritually, you are walking away from God. That's what this man did. He left the city of God, Jerusalem, to go to the city of Jericho. Now, what do we know about the city of Jericho? Well, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20, Joshua destroyed it. Remember, they marched around it one time for 6 days, and then seven times the seventh day, they blew the trumpet, and they shouted, "Hey!" And the walls fell down. What, you didn't like my trumpet? And the walls fell down. It was destroyed by Joshua. And Joshua said, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho." Fast forward 540 years from there, a man by the name of Hiel came along in 1 Kings chapter 16 and rebuilt the city, the cursed city. And the Bible said as he laid the foundation, his oldest son died. And as he completed the city and set up the gate, his youngest son died. So the curse that Joshua put on that place was kept. God made it come true. So here's a certain man. Now, Dennis, I want you to just make this journey from slowly. I got to make some points. Go back and start over. So here's Jerusalem, the city of God. Here's Jericho, the city cursed by God. And as that certain man heads for the city of Jericho, what he's doing is he's got his back turned on God and he's walking away from God. He's got his back turned on righteousness, headed for sinfulness. He's got his back turned on God's crowd, headed for the devil's crowd. He's got his back turned on the truth. Slow down, I'm not done yet. You can't get over there before I get done. He's got his back turned to the truth and headed for lies. He's got his back turned on heaven, headed for hell. He's got his back turned on peace and headed for the curse. In Proverbs chapter 14, the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And there's a lot of people today, maybe some in this room this morning, but many people that you know, Dennis, come back here. That are on this same journey. Hurry up. Yeah, that are on this same journey. They got their back turned on God, and they're walking in the way of sin, and they say, hey, I'm okay. This way that I'm going seems right. But the Bible says it's a way of death. It will lead to death. Okay, stop right here. And so this certain man is making this journey. I want you to notice what happens, okay? Leonard and Harry. The Bible says that thieves. This is pretty good. Pretty good character picking, isn't it? Now, let me just tell you. Here, there's four things that happened to him. First thing is he got beat up. Now, just a minute. Don't do it till I tell you. He got beat up. King Herod, in 20 BC, rebuilt the temple. And it was under construction for 46 years, and he had 45,000 people involved in that reconstruction process. When Jesus was telling this story, all those guys were unemployed. And many of them turned to robbery. In fact, Josephus, the historian, the Jewish historian, called the road from Jerusalem to Jericho the Bloody Way. Because there were many people there that were unemployed, and they didn't know where else to turn. They would go and they would beat people up and rob them, ambush the travelers that walked that road. And so it says in the verses that we read, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they beat him up. Go ahead, guys. Beat him up. And he fell down. All right? And they left him half dead. Okay, you guys go back and sit down for a minute. They beat him up. Now, they stripped him of his raiment. Now, we're going to give the G version this morning. We're not going to do that. Stripped him of his raiment. What did you say? Okay, good. Stay out of my preaching. And wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, I want to point out to you this morning, that's exactly what sin will do to every single person. Sin will take everything that you have and steal it and take it away. That's why the Bible says, hey, sin for a season seems like it's pleasurable and we can enjoy it. But go ahead and ask the person who enjoyed taking that first drink and drank and drank and drank, and now he's a drunk and has lost everything. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. Go ahead and talk to that person that looked at a lady that he shouldn't have looked at, and that look turned into lust, and that lust turned into action, and he lost everything that he had. That's what sin does. Sin will take everything away from you and leave you half dead. Now, he was half dead physically, but I want you to know that he was also half dead in that he was still alive physically, but he was dead spiritually. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're just like Dennis representing the story in the Good Samaritan. You are half dead. You may be alive and have robust health from a physical standpoint, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you are dead in your sins. I heard somebody say one time, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You see, if I only am born once, if I only am born once physically, I will die physically and I will also die spiritually. I'll be separated from God forever. But if I get born twice, if I get born once physically and then I get born again by receiving Jesus Christ as my Savior, I may die physically, but I will never die spiritually, because when my soul leaves this old body, it will go immediately to be with Jesus in heaven. So here's this certain man. He fell among thieves. They beat him and left him half dead. So he got beat up. Number two, he got passed up. We're going to let these same two guys play a couple more characters. Brother Leonard, you get to be the priest. This is the one that conducted the worship. This is the one that oversaw the temple. He came to where this guy was. Looked down at him. said, "What a mess." Walked over to the other side of the road and passed him up. A religious man. A man that studied the scripture as they had it back then. And yet, when he saw this half-dead... You doing all right, Dennis?
Yeah.
Looked like you're in a strain.
No.
Okay. Don't go to sleep. Passed him by. Passed him by. Then the Levite. The Levite was the one that helped the priest in the temple. They oversaw the offering and took care of the temple. He came. Came to the same guy on this road. Again, looked down at him. What a mess. Bible says he passed over on the other side of the road and passed him up. Passed him up. Neither one of them helped him. Now, I want to tell you this morning, there is no priest, there is no Levite that can help you if you are half dead. I want to tell you something this morning. If you're half dead, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need more than a religion. You need more than a creed. You need more than a program or a ceremony. You need a Savior. And by the way, money don't count much with God either. I mean, the Levite was the one that took care of the money. I mean, he could probably get all the money that he wanted. If you're half dead this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you could have as much money as Gates and Rockefeller and Buffett all put together, and it will not do you any good. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You need a Savior. You need Jesus Christ. Now, the world comes today and said, "Hey, I represent religion. I can help this guy. I mean, I can pick him up and help him, and I can pick him up, and I can bind up his wounds, and I can make him feel better." And a lot of religions today are trying to make people feel better. They're still half dead because they don't tell them about Jesus. And there's a lot of social do-gooders in the world today that have access to money, and they will come and say, "Hey, I can help this guy. I can take him and dress him up, and I can take him and get a haircut, and I can take him and I can make him a lot better." But you know what? I don't care how much money you spend on somebody, you cannot buy their salvation. And when they get done with all the religion that the world has to offer, and when they get done with all the money that the world has to offer, they're still half dead. So he got beat up. He got passed up. Number three, he got picked up. Okay, Brother Leonard, we're going to let you be the Good Samaritan. All right? Here comes a Samaritan. Somebody the Jews hated, half dogs. And the Samaritan came where he was and looked at him, and the Bible said, had compassion on him. Just sort of set him. Yeah, just like that. I didn't know what to say. A good Samaritan came and saw that he was beat up, stopped, picked him up. Let me ask you this morning, who is your Good Samaritan? Who told you about Jesus? You know, my testimony was my grandma. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for my grandma telling me about Jesus. Who's your Good Samaritan? Who stopped and told you about Jesus? Was it your grandpa, your grandma, your dad, your mom, maybe a brother? Or sister, if you're saved today, it's probably because somebody told you about Jesus. Notice what the Bible says in that verse. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. You see, the Samaritan didn't go out of his way looking for this person that was beat. He just saw him as he went his way. There are people that you, as you go your way this afternoon, that you will meet that need Jesus. You don't got to go out of your way to find them. You'll run across them. If you go out to eat today, you'll probably run across them at the restaurant. If you go shopping today, you'll run across them at wherever you're going shopping. If you do anything at all today that takes you where people are, as you go along your way, you will see people that need Jesus. Same thing's true tomorrow. You go to school, you go to work, whatever you do, you'll run across people tomorrow that need Jesus. Sometimes we go into a crowd and we just see a bunch of figures. We never focus in on the individuals. When you go out in the crowd this afternoon, I want you to think, here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at them one at a time. Go from face to face to face to face and understand that behind every one of those faces is a never-dying soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, and they need Jesus. They're there half dead, beaten by the world, beaten by sin, beaten by Satan, and they're looking for somebody to come along and tell them about a Savior. Then the Bible says, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. If you were driving home today from church and you drove down the street in your neighborhood and you saw a little boy or a little girl that was laying in the road and they were bleeding, you would stop. Not a person in this room that wouldn't stop. You would stop. And you would pick them up. Or else you would cover them up with your coat. Call 911. You would have compassion on them. Because here's a little kid. A helpless little kid that doesn't know what to do. That somehow has been hurt and is bleeding. You would have compassion on him. Let me tell you this morning, as you pass people tomorrow, and as you pass people today, and they may not be bleeding, but they are still half dead, they need a Savior. And we need to have the same kind of compassion on them. Realizing that if they don't hear about Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell. And there's something wrong with our Christianity if we can pass men and women and boys and girls and realize they're going to hell without the Savior and not weep. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 126, he that goeth forth and weepeth, because he realized that people without Christ are going to hell. He that goeth forth and weepeth and have compassion on the lost shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He got picked up. And then he got put up. Go ahead and pick him up all the way, Brother Leonard. We're going to let this be the end over here. The Bible says that the Good Samaritan, after he bound up his wounds and poured in his oil, he put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Let me tell you about somebody this morning that will pay your debts. Let me tell you about somebody this morning that will pay the penalty for your sin. Let me tell you about somebody this morning that wants to put you up in a place called heaven. That place where you can live eternally. That place where you will live and be taken care of by God. That place where there is a street of gold, the gates of pearl. There is no night. There is no weeping. There is no tears. There is no pain. You get to live there with Jesus. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, as Dennis laid there on the floor, he represents you because you are half dead. But this morning, there's somebody passing by. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He wants to bind up those wounds that sin have left in you. He wants to pick you up. And he wants to put you up in a place called heaven. Will you let him do it? Will you let him do it? Say, how much do I got to pay? Well, how much did Dennis have to pay Brother Leonard? Nothing. How much did this person that was beat up in Jesus' story have to pay the Good Samaritan? Nothing. Nothing. The cost of salvation to us is nothing. All we have to do is receive it. Thanks, guys. You can go. Just leave the platform like it is. You're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Let me say it again. Religion will not help you. Lord's Supper won't help you. Baptism won't help you. Joining the church won't help you. If you're lost, you need Jesus Christ. He's the way, truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. This morning, you can be born again. You've been born once, or else you wouldn't be here. Been born physically. You can be born spiritually. All you got to do is come and take what Jesus purchased for every single one of us on Calvary. Would you do that this morning? Say, preacher, I didn't come prepared to get saved. Good. Because God wants you just like you are. There ain't nothing you can do to get ready anyway. All you need to do is come. Just come. Just come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for making the gospel so simple that even a little child can understand it. And I pray.